Almost, it's summer. Summer's here. Yes, you can sit there, man. It's cool. I'll preach only to you. I'll do that. It's cool. You can stay there. Let's first read the scripture, and then I'll pray for us. I'm going to read from the ESV. Luke chapter 5. Verse 27 to 32. Okay. Are you ready? Luke chapter 5, verse 27 to 32. Let's go. Are you there yet? If you've got your phone, you can follow on your phone. Hank just had to attend to something. He's going to come back now with the slides. But if you've got scripture with you, I'll read. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. Oh, there's Dong. Dong to the rescue. Right, here we go. After this, he who is Jesus went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And leaving everything, he rose and he followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his house. And there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at the table with him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Father, we pray that your word will change our lives. Lord, I pray this morning that I won't preach my stories, that I won't preach my testimonies. I'll preach the scripture. And fulfill what you need to fulfill this morning through your scriptures. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, God, for your word. It's a very interesting story. Just before this, Jesus heals a leper. He actually touches him, which was unlawful to do in those days. Then he heals a paralytic, and then he comes to this instance where he calls Levi, which wrote the book of Matthew. He actually called Matthew. And Luke records it. It's a beautiful thing that Luke's recording. But as you read the scripture, you see there's three groups of people looking at this. There's, first of all, Matthew, who Jesus calls with his disciples. Then there's the Pharisees. Now, they moan. And then there's another group of people, Matthew's friends. They're also there. And the way they perceive what Jesus is doing is quite interesting, and we need to talk about this. But there's one thing that stood out for me while I was reading this scripture is Jesus used the term saying, "Look here, I've come for people that sick." It's an interesting term that Jesus uses. Now, if I were to ask what would Jesus mean with the sickness, I'm sure I would get different answers here this morning. If I were to preach this where there's more people, I would believe that a lot of people will be offended. And how could Jesus call us sick? I think a lot of people won't be happy being called sick. But Jesus says, "Look here, I've come for sick people." What does Jesus mean by sick? And so the first thing I want to talk about this morning is the challenge to the sick. What is the sickness that Jesus is referring to? If we can just go to the following slide. We've got to look now at what is the challenge to those who are sick. The challenge. When Jesus says sick, Jesus means he's talking to people that has total depravity. They know without him there's something wrong. Jesus is talking about people that knows there's something wrong with me. I'm not happy. I've got everything in life. I'm still unhappy. there's a challenge here. I can't get this thing right. I don't feel happy anymore. I don't understand why I feel like this. Jesus is talking to people like that. Warren Wiersbe says this: sin is like a disease. It starts in a small, hidden way. It grows secretly. It saps our strength, and if it not cures, it kills. It's tragic when sickness kills the body, but it is even more tragic when sin condemns the soul to hell. The mourning soul knows this. In other words, Jesus is saying, when I'm referring to people that sick, I'm referring to people that know that they're unrighteous. Apart from me, they will obviously go and die. That's what Jesus means with sickness here. Jesus' point is a mission statement that explains why he seeks outsiders. It's important. There's a way that we look at people out there, and there's a way Christ looked. Now, what God did, God planted the church right in the middle of those who are dying and those who are being saved. As Christians, we've got an obligation to both. To the sick and to those who are being saved. Now, it's interesting. Do you see Jesus is a bit sarcastic here and cheeky? He says to the Pharisees in a cheeky way, sarcastically, "Don't worry, I didn't come for you that's righteous and healed. I came for the sick." But they weren't righteous and they weren't healed. They were even worse off in terms of depravity. And I wonder if Jesus said it with a smile or if he was serious. You know, tongue in the cheek. We see what Christ is doing here. But now, what are the things that would make people sick? If Jesus uses that term sick, we're still talking about the challenge to those who are sick, which all of us. What are the things that would make a society sick? What are the things that would make Jesus hang out with sick people? Why? I'm going to give you four reasons of things I know scripture of that makes people sick. I'm going to give four reasons of what I've noticed in scripture and what I've seen in the UK and a lot of places that I've been. What makes people sick? The first thing that makes people sick is they don't believe in absolute truth anymore. People don't believe in absolute truth anymore. Now that makes you sick. It makes you very, very sick. You know, people don't get changed through love. Love doesn't change people. Truth does. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? Jesus said it, the truth will set you free. Jesus didn't say, my love will set you free. Jesus' love is a setup to receive his truth, yes. And that is why people get sick, because they believe lies. And the only way to replace a lie is with the corresponding truth. So, people get sick, we get sick when we don't believe in absolute truth anymore. When we believe that. That's the first thing. People don't believe absolute truth anymore. The second thing, we choose what we believe to fit our lifestyle. That makes people very sick. So that part of scripture is applicable to you, but it's not applicable to me. No. You can have one wife, but I'm fine with three. You see the reasoning why there's a depravity there. The third reason, we shift from objective authority to personal preference. Look, one of the things that I've noticed just in my own life, people don't like to be told what to do. Isn't it so? Let's just be honest with each other this morning. We don't like to be told what to do, especially when we're wrong. Everything inside of us says, yeah, right. You know, but we smile, but inside it looks like this, yeah, right. Could you please stop speaking? You know, that's how we look inside, but on the outside, yes, I'll do it. Yeah, I'm so sorry, but we're not really sorry. Because we're objective. Now that makes us sick. It means we're not open to receive from another place of authority. Whether it is somebody as my boss, or my husband, or my wife, or functional authority, or my friend in small group, it makes people sick. But more over so on the outside. And then also, another thing, the last thing, is the sexual revolution. The sexual revolution at this stage, it's causing so much depravity within society. People, it is scary. Pronouns are now being changed. You get he, she, and then there's another one that I've read about, Z. A Z is somebody that can be anything. So legislation would want Wang Dong, when he sees a patient, he first has to discern now, is it a G, is it a she, or is it a he? Because at one stage, if legislation gets passed, Dong won't be allowed to say to somebody that feels he's a Z that he's a he. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about the depravity of human nature. Now, Jesus says anybody that acknowledges that, number one, they don't believe absolute truth, that number two, Jesus says everybody that says, look, I don't believe in absolute truth, but I know there's something wrong with it. Anybody that says, I can't just choose what suits me. Everybody that says, there must be authority over my life. And everybody that says, I want to be pure in terms of the sake. Jesus says, look, I'll come and I'll make my home with him. I would want to hang out with that type of guy or gal. You know? Now, this list isn't exhaustive. There's other things that makes people sick, but these are the main things that I've seen over the years in ministry and that I see regularly nowadays. So, that is, first of all, the challenge to those who are sick. We need to acknowledge. People out there need to acknowledge it. We need to acknowledge our total depravity, our alienation from God. That's why Jesus says, I came to hang out with sick people. Unfortunately, I cannot hang out with righteous folk. The second challenge, the challenge for the church. Often the unrighteous are aware of their need, whereas the unrighteous righteous are not. The unrighteous righteous. They're not. There was a British missionary. I want to read something to you. Leslie Newbegin. When he returned to England in the 1970s, after years of living abroad, he recognized the following. Just listen to this. He said, the challenge he discovered wasn't only how to reach unbelievers with the gospel. It was also how to reach believers with the gospel. He called the people in church the unfaithful faithful. Far more influenced by secularism than they have realized. He said when he came back and when he looked at the church was more sick. Os Guinness, who is a family member of the Guinness family that made the famous Guinness beer. Dr. Os Guinness says that due to the effects of advanced modernity, Western Christians who believe the gospel in their heads often behave like atheists in their actions. Watch that. That is to say, the issue isn't the lack of gospel power. No. But functional belief. Watch what he says. Right here we see that Jesus is challenging the Pharisees and the scribes because of self-righteousness. Something isn't settled in the heart. You know how it goes with church. We climb up the corporate ladder. We become busy. Then we start reading our Bible a bit less. Then the children come. So now we don't pray anymore. Our business is doing good. We see more people than we see Jesus. Scripture reading becomes less and less. We become busy and busy and busier. Our list of to-dos get longer and longer and longer. And meeting with Jesus becomes less and less and less. You know how it goes. And then obviously we become sick. We become sick. But this is the challenge for the church. And we become so sick, we become like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. But now, let's go to the challenge for the grumbling scribes and Pharisees. That's the following challenge. The challenge of the grumbling Pharisees and scribes. The dear brothers in this, they live in a bubble. They live in a bubble and in a world where they don't understand people that acknowledge their depravity. It's a bad bubble. Unfortunately, the bubble can only, or fortunately, the bubble can only be popped by Christ. We can't pop that bubble. But once you're in that bubble, it's a weird place to be. We don't see sick people. It's difficult to connect with people outside of that bubble. We speak a language that other people don't understand. They like looking at us, so what's this blessing? You know, there's so many things in this bubble that's foreign to people. And I'm talking about this bubble now because it's an important thing. It's going to make all sense now. And because the Pharisees, they've got the rules and the regulations, they can't see why Jesus would hang out. Now, it's quite a big one that they drop here. They say, look here, why do you drink and eat with sinners? They're saying, we have a problem with it. Our rules and regulations does not allow us for you to hang out with these people. But now, what do we learn from Jesus? What do we learn from Jesus? And there I'll end today. The last one, if you can go to the last one, Uncle. What do we learn from Jesus? The challenge to the grumbling Pharisees and scribes. It's interesting, as I read that word grumbling, because they said the scribes and the Pharisees grumbled. That word grumbling, it actually makes a noise when you say it. Have you ever heard, I was a teacher, and in South Africa our classes were between 35 to 60 big. So have you ever heard 60 children moan? Yo, it is scary. You know, it is scary. But that's the noise that this word makes. It's the same word that Scripture uses when the Israelites moaned against Moses in Numbers and Aaron, grumbling. But now, what do we learn from Jesus? Why? What do we need to do when we say the sick needs a physician? Look. Allow me to say this. Let's just go off topic here. Every one of us gets a call to come to Jesus. Come to me. Come. My yoke's easy. My burden's light. You've got to surrender. Every human being on life must fight that battle to surrender to Christ. Every human being. But then there comes what's happening to Levi, to Matthew. Come, follow me. That's the second one. First come to me, then come, follow me. And after we followed Christ, then comes that one where Christ would say, now you go and make. All of us, we know we are in trouble when we get stuck in between one of those places. You just know it. The Pharisees and the Sadducees got stuck. They got stuck somewhere. Now, please, if any one of us needs healing, we must get healing. But at the same time, we must share the good news. Have you ever seen guys that just got saved? Whether they still need a lot of healing, they tell everybody about this Jesus that they've met. Have you seen it? They go to their families. Oh, and they get disowned. Dad, I'm going to baptize me. Ooh, no, not in the name of Jesus. Not, no, 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 no. You're a funny merva. We don't baptize. We don't baptize. No, no. You were baptized. You know how the story goes. People being disowned and being angry. But you know, once you've received healing, you also need to share. Freely you have received, freely you must give. Now, obviously, we look at where in life you are within your growth stage with Christ. That is important. But there's got to be a progression of growth. A progression of sharing who Jesus is. If we stop, I'm going off topic now. I'm going to go back to the, if we stop, there's trouble. I've had conversations, you know, with so many people, doctors over the years, lawyers, teachers, people that don't have jobs, actors. And the interesting thing about all of us, me included, I'm not excluded, we always take the conversation away from us, isn't it so? There's always an issue with the people and the government and the school governing board and Darren Estate there outside. I don't know what else. There's always a problem. And I've been through these conversations a lot, and then I usually ask people when we make plans for healing, say, okay, we're going to make plans for healing. We're going to sit down. We're going to talk about this. We're going to change our ways in meeting your needs. We're really going to help you. And then I ask this question, when was the last time you've prayed for somebody to get saved and discipled? When was the last time that you've baptized somebody? When was the last time that you've preached the gospel? Then the conversation always gets uncomfortable. First the silence. Then the question, what do you mean? And I say, no, this is what I've said. Yeah, but you know, we shouldn't force, and I don't know what else. And what I'm trying to encourage you today with, if we get stuck there somewhere, it becomes unhealthy. It really becomes unhealthy. This is not a rebuke, please. You can hear in my voice, it's not a rebuke. I'm not angry. All that I'm saying is I see so many sick people within the body of Christ regularly, maybe more than you, because it's part of my job description according to Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 15, to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. What we have freely received, we must somewhere freely give it. It changes one's life. And that is what Jesus for me just shows so beautifully when he hangs out with these people called sinners, which is all of us. So I'm going to share three things with you that I learned from Jesus and what I glean from this text in front of me. Three things that I learned from him. It's not a methodology of doing things. It's just things that I see. So the first thing that I'm going to share is incarnation. What does incarnation mean? Incarnation means I walk over into somebody else's world. I walk over into it. That's what Jesus did. God said, the people that I've created, they don't get me. I have to send my son. So I have to walk into their world. So I just want to say to everybody that says God doesn't care, if he didn't care, he wouldn't have come. He cares, that's why he came. It's a historical fact that he hung on the cross. So he came. That's important. But this is important. We see Jesus eating, and when he comes, he eats with them. Why does he eat? Because for some reason, the table where we have dinner, supper, breakfast, it just levels the playing field. We can look each other in the eye and we can talk, I've gone into your world. Now, what does this mean for us in our healing? It means, ladies and gents, that we have to go beyond our comfort zone. You know that conversation that I usually have with people, when last did you get somebody saved and discipled? What I'm trying to ask them is, when was the last time you took somebody under your wing and you told him, from now on every week, I'm going to talk to you about scriptures and we're going to talk about baptism and we're going to talk about Holy Spirit baptism and what does it mean? And I commit myself to praying for you every second day, or as the Holy Spirit inspired me. Now that's beyond our comfort zones. It's beyond our own interests. It's not a difficult conversation. I'm not trying to be difficult. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not trying to be facetious or angry or anything. I'm just painting a picture of what I'm seeing in the body of Christ. And this is something that we need to wrestle on our knees with God. The incarnation principle going into someone's words. I have to say this. If people's going to pick up that we are not genuine, they'll discern. If they're going to see, oh, you just want to get me to church. Or you, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking, I'm walking into your world. And I just want to know. And then from there on, I want to make a commitment to continue to talk with you every day of your life. As we can. I want to commit to that and talk with you. Why? Because once I was also sick. The second thing is pointing to the truth. It's deliberate so that you can remember it. Truth flips people's world. Truth flips your world around. It changes you. I said it last week, I'll say it again. Time doesn't heal people. It takes time to get healed. Truth heals. Speaking the truth in love. Pointing to the truth means we point people to Jesus. So in one or another way, every relationship we do have with people, at one stage we've got to sit them down and say, look, we've got to talk about the truth of Christ. That conversation must pop up. We can't be friends. At one stage, I mean, we've got to voice how we feel. You with me? Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. We must confront people with the physician. Jesus said, I came to hang out with these guys, but to lead them to repentance. So there's this commitment to walk a road with somebody and just speak truth, which is very uncomfortable. Are you going to be popular? No. I want to be honest with you. People are going to hate us. Jesus said so. They'll hate you. Are you going to be rejected a lot? Yes. Elmery Shaded Small Group. First mission to Namibia. Our first mission as a married couple together. She goes with Hercules, Pastor Hercules. I went with Marilyn Yars from Springbok. Ooh, a.k.a. Lanky. This thing could talk a lot. We were late for all our meetings because Lanky just shared the gospel. And I said, Lanky, we must go. I don't have anything to pray anymore. No, she wants to preach the gospel. But Almri's first place where she had to preach the gospel, she got a smack in the face. Introduction to Missions 101. I won't say what Hercules said. She should have said and done. I can't. But you know, stuff like that's going to happen. But Paul says, some people think I am actually crazy for sharing the gospel. But you know how I share it, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 5. I share it, number one, because I know what's going to happen to people if they don't hear it. I know what's going to happen if people don't hear this. I know what's going to happen to them. Secondly, Paul says, the love of Christ compels me to share it, the truth. And then last but not least, we've got to do it with the power of the Holy Spirit. I think the Holy Spirit is the most neglected part when it comes to dealing with our sickness, dealing with difficult situations. We tend to regress to a methodology or what we've heard, but the power of the Holy Spirit is important. The lack of prayer and reliance on the Holy Spirit while we witness, in my view, is the main enemy for our lack of representing our physician. Holy Spirit-inspired conviction, the God question that challenges everybody, that hug, that smile, that gift, that prayer, that Holy Spirit-inspired thing that just changes people's life immediately from one broken vessel to another broken vessel. And the Holy Spirit illuminates the Scriptures. Why am I sharing this? Why am I sharing this? The Holy Spirit obviously would say, look to Christ, listen to God, go to Him, get to know Him. The Holy Spirit would never shed light on us. It would shed light on God. But why am I sharing this with you? This is where I'm going to go off the record. I first want to pray and then I just want to share something. So I'm going to pray now. Father, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would just teach us how to be like the main physician, Jesus, hanging out with the sick. Wow, what an awesome testimony. I thank You, Lord, for that which You've given us, this amazing task to preach the gospel. As You heal us, we are not perfect. But God, from our imperfection, we want to share Your perfection. In Jesus' name, amen. Hank, if you just can stop the recording. Interesting week that I had. I sat down with a pastor